has it, he's the one I'm leaving you for.
Fabulous song, fabulous start to the programme as well. That is, of course, Adele and Rumour Has It. And a good song for a politician. Good morning. I always say good morning. Good afternoon, Barry. How are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. Come a little bit closer to them. Let's put that a little bit closer to you. Right, you've had your meeting, as usual, with the press this morning.
Yep.
Paul's was in here an hour or so ago detailing some of the stuff that you were talking about. Let's start with one that's at the on the front page of the Gazette this morning and get your outlook on it. End of the road for the weekly bin collection. Some councils, well, 50% of the councils already in Essex are doing this fortnightly collection. Brentwood isn't one of them. It's still a single collection. William Lloyd, leader of the Brentwood First, saying no comment, basically, at the moment. What are you saying?
Well, what William has actually said was rule nothing out, rule nothing in, and as people formulating the future, that's exactly what we have, the stance we have to take. But up until May this year, there is no plans whatsoever for the Accord administration to introduce a fortnightly black bag collection.
Right, Havering have mucked about with things. They've still got a weekly collection. They've they've distributed various lorries. We used to have two lorries come round. You'd get one for the orange bags, one for the black bags. Now they've got different lorries, and it's one collection for both bags, and they put them in different compartments. Is that something you're looking at all the time? A way to
save
money?
We're doing that already in various things. The food waste goes with some of the other recyclables in different compartments. So, yeah, it's something we're talking about. But waste is a very important thing that we've got to get our heads around the future of it, because recycling monies that are coming from the people that are buying our recycling from us, has the bottom's dropped out of our market. And where we was getting somewhere near £200,000 a year, or nearly £300,000 a year from that income, they're now telling us that it's going to be nothing. So we've got to address that, and quick. We're talking to three other councils to form a conglomerate to go forward in investigating various options on waste collection. We're also talking with the county council on that as well, because they're the ones who look after the waste after we've collected it. They take it away from us. So between the two bodies, the county council and the districts, we're talking about looking at various ways of collecting our waste.
Okay, because it's a subject very close to voters' heart, isn't it? Because some people don't really use the council services at all, apart from waste collection. Everybody gets involved with that. Everybody has their waste collected, so they want the most efficient and cost-efficient way of doing it, don't they?
Absolutely they do, and over the years it's been known that they're one of the services that the council provides that's valued the most by our residents, and quite rightly they deserve a lot of credit for our guys who do such a fantastic job very efficiently.
How clean a borough are we? Because if you look at boroughs like Thurrock, who they've just got an enormous problem, especially with the A13, where through no fault of their own, you've just got massive rubbish problems on the side of the road. Are we clean? Do people dump rubbish on the A12 laybys?
They certainly do, and that's a subject that we were discussing yesterday at the Essex Leaders meeting that I attended. And it's one of the things that we are going to approach the government about, because the government, through the Highways Agency, look after the A12, which is our biggest area where we have rubbish dumped, because Brook Street roundabout is probably about the right time that someone will finish a burger that after they've bought it at Mount Nessing roundabout, and that's about the time, because the last time we cleaned up the A12, which is an operation in itself, because you have to be a rolling roadblock going along with people on the side and the police sometimes in attendance, we got 250 tonnes of rubbish approaching the A12, Junction 28 on the M25, where the A12 meets it. I mean, that's an incredible amount of...
An incredible weight.
It's all paper.
And somebody has to clear that up, and somebody has to pay for that to be cleared up.
Yep.
And that's down to you, isn't it, to deal
with this? Well, it's the ratepayers in general.
Yeah.
The Highways Agency's responsibility, but as a local authority, where our land starts, which abuts the A12, that's where it all collects, so we have to clear it up.
And the only way you can combat that, possibly, is better education or policing better, which again costs more money.
It does. They're looking, if you can believe this or not, they're looking at the takeaway food organisation that they will insist on having names and addresses of people who purchased that particular brand of takeaway. I really can't see that happening, but
all working.
Yeah. But it is a possibility that that's one of the things they are, radical things they're looking at.
Okay. Incidentally, if you'd like to add your opinion today, you're very welcome to. You can do that on Twitter. At PhoenixFM is our Twitter address. If you want, I'll see what you want to say, and I'll put your questions to Barry. Barry, I was going to touch on this later, but we've just mentioned it now. Brook Street, the A12. Mm-hmm. Last night, again, I got stuck in it myself. I was 50 minutes to do 40 yards last night. There were two accidents on Brook Street. Brook Street is constantly congested. It's constantly... I've worked hard at trying to see why it's congested. It seems to be the Nags Head Lane traffic lights are causing some of the tailback. If you get a tailback there, it goes all the way back to Ingatestone on the A12 as you're coming in London bound. But is the Brook Street roundabout fit for purpose in this day and age?
No, absolutely not. It's way overdue for being enhanced and increased and improved. It's a 1980s model. Not fit for purpose in the 2015.
So have we got designs for improvement? Are plans already waiting for financial backing?
Well, I'm hoping that's the government have said they're going to widen the A12 from the junction 28 through to Colchester, I believe. If that's their intention, that has to happen. And Brook Street roundabout is one of the most fundamental junctions on it, and that has to be part of that improvement.
Okay, let's talk about the Brentwood Bypass then, because is there land available to widen it? We're almost talking motorway status, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
We're talking M12, really, although it's not really that in name. It won't be that in name, will it?
It could be A12 brackets M. Yeah. I suppose, like they have elsewhere on the A1 itself. Yes, there is land available either side. There is only a couple of pinch points. One of them is between Pilgrim's Hatch and Brentwood North, mm-hmm. where I suppose, like on the M6, where they go through Birmingham, where they narrow the lanes for that pinch point, and then it comes back out again.
Yeah.
So you have a speed restriction on that stretch, which would be good anyway.
Is this something the council is very much in favour of?
Absolutely. Well, this particular councillor is, yes.
Okay.
I served on a committee years ago called the London to Ipswich Study, which decided that the A12 would be upgraded when they dropped the idea of an M12, if you remember.
Mm-hmm, I do remember,
So all these wasted promises by these flipping politicians who never get their finger out and get anything done properly.
Are you worried that when it comes to it, that as has often happened in the past, when they promise and allocated monies for a project, that when it comes to, well, it's either that or we close a hospital, that then that will be scrubbed?
That's always a fear. They make promises, especially leading up to an election, where they know that there is a problem that needs to be attended to, and it sounds good if they make these promises. I just hold them to account afterwards. But, you know, once they get in for 5 years, that's it.
Okay, all right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about your promises.
Life begins at the beaches. Call in and see how life could change for you. Regular seminars for care fee planning, social get-togethers and lunch clubs. Visit us to see how your life could change for the better. The Beaches, London Road, Brentwood. Visit signaturecarehomes.co.uk for more information.
Brentwood Borough Council is planning for our borough's future, and we need your help to do it. We want to work with local people to prepare a new local plan that will identify the sites where we deliver new housing, jobs, open spaces and other infrastructure that will be needed in the future. We're now asking for your views on these subjects. To have your say on the consultation, please go to www.brentwood.gov.uk/localplan. Brentwood Borough Council. Your borough, your future, your say.
Hi, you're Micah here. Why don't you join me 3 till 6 every weekday afternoon, only on Phoenix 98 FM. I do drive time, just in case you didn't know. Now, every half an hour, we do the travel news. Just before that, I give you some entertainment news and what's on. We tell you what's going on in and around Brentwood and Billericay for the coming few months. And I'll tell you where to get more information. Very important, you know. So this is Mikey, 3 till 6 every weekday afternoon, brought to you in association with Papa John's Pizza, 106 High Street, Brentwood.
Indeed, of course, Mike will be here at 3 o'clock. Right, special guest in the studio for this hour, Barry Aspinall. We're talking everything Brentwood at the moment. Barry, you've been in power since June the 24th. Obviously, you made promises at your election. Let's have a quick look at the year so far and since you've been in as leader. How's it going?
Brilliant. I say that unequivocally. It's been a wonderful experience, and I thank the people of Brentwood that voted for us to go down that road and have that experience. It's been eye-opening. It's been very, very busy. It's been challenging, but I hope at the end of the day people will see that we've actually fulfilled what we set out to do.
The opposition will accuse you of saying you've done a lot of things, but you haven't actually. Without going into specifics, how would you answer that?
Well, when we took over Brentwood last June, didn't really start work until July, and I found that there was an awful lot of cleaning up to do. Things weren't in action, and we had to do that. The town hall project had just stalled and fundamentally stopped, so that had to be put up into in the fast lane very quickly, which we're carrying that out now, and we're near certain stage post where we can actually see something happening. Most of our staff have been decanted from the top two floors to the bottom two, and those floors are now ready for assessment, and they will be then going out to the people that are going to lease it from us, the contractors, and that will be our first income. So that will be something that we have been working hard for to demonstrate to the people of Brentwood that it was worth saving their town hall.
Coalitions are always an uncertain time in council and government, as we can see. Is it working well?
Been fantastic. I've had nothing but good words to say about my colleagues from the other parties. We've worked cohesively, we've worked joined up thinking, we've worked together. It's been good natured, it's been well received by many people, and we've got on tremendous. It's been fantastic.
Good. Okay, right, let's talk about some of the things that you raised at press conference this morning. Hopefield Sanctuary. For those that have no idea what that is, could you just briefly outline what is Hopefield Sanctuary?
The Hopefield Animal Sanctuary is a rescue centre for animals that have been treated cruelly and needing a home. At the bottom of Sawyers Hall Lane, used to be a farm, a riding stables, and there it's the Hopeful Animal Sanctuary. Tesco's actually bought the land some 20-odd years ago when the last plan came up, and there was a need for a superstore in Brentwood, and several sites were decided by stores, various companies that they would have, and Tesco's bought that area of land, 45 acres of greenbelt farmland, and when they got turned down for their store, thanks to them, Hopefield were then given a peppercorn rent to stay on that land. But now Tesco's are in a bit of a trouble nationally, and they want to make every possible penny out of all of their land holdings, as you can expect.
Yeah.
And housing for them would be the maximum they could get out of the profit from that land.
Okay, so what happens next?
Well, the petition that Hopefield are running is to ask Brentwood Council to allocate that land on our local development plan going forward as recreational, public open space, stroke tourism, which I'm happy to do. They've got today they've got 137,000 people, obviously not all from Brentwood, who are supporting that view. And as this is a consultation that we're undertaking at this moment for our local development plan, that will be taken into consideration when we make our decision.
Okay, so that's firmly under plan. You've also talked about Shenfield Country Park as well.
Yes.
What's that about?
Well, I'm very excited about that. That's only if the people of Shenfield and Brentwood decide that they could see the loss of some green belt within Shenfield called Officers Meadow. And in a 106 agreement, after permission, or when permission is granted, if permission is granted, if that allocation goes forward, there would be monies available to purchase land the other side of the Chelmsford Road, between Chelmsford Roadhouses and the A12, that runs basically from Mount Nessing to Sawyers Hall Lane. And
okay.
It's not just in one ownership. There's several ownerships that need to be contacted and see if we can parcel it together. But a good 80-odd acres is in one ownership. There's already agreed that that would come over.
Right.
And this would guarantee not only open space, public open space for the people of Brentwood and Shenfield, but it would be a fabulous green wedge that will be protected from any further creeping development.
Okay. Every council in the land is subject to devastating cuts at the moment. You're no exception. We've talked about saving. You know, you obviously, and nobody really wants to go to a fortnightly bin collection.
No.
Where are you going to find the savings? What's the plan for that?
Well, it won't be savings. It'll be earning extra additional revenue that's got to come into the council. And it's got to be done very quickly. We've got basically a year to put that in place.
And does that mean raising business rates? Does that mean raising council tax? What does it mean?
No, that means additional revenue coming from assets that we can purchase and the ones that we own to offset the lack of income from the government's support grant.
Okay, one of our phones is ringing. It's not mine.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Let's go take a quick break there. There you go, that is Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. I haven't heard that for a very, very long time. I think Barry and I are roughly similar ages and probably got similar musical tastes as well. 26 minutes past one, we better do this.
Phoenix FM Travel News, in association with the Beaches Care and Nursing Home, London Road, Brentwood.
Right, there's been a massive problem on the A12 this morning, but that's all cleared and gone. The accident's cleared and the road is open again. A little bit slow through the roadworks at the moment. There is a 40 mile an hour and 50 mile an hour speed limit in its average speed cameras. Traffic a little bit slow through there, but not too bad. Basildon's got problems this morning around Langton Hills area. A bit slow through there, a bit slow to get into Southend as well. Otherwise, not too bad, actually. The M25 is behaving itself. Slow through Harold Wood as well at the moment. It's roadworks as you come off of Nags Head Lane and turn right up Shepherd's Hill. Very slow through there. Long tailbacks as well on the arterial, the A127, which has been, I have to say, dreadful for the last 2 weeks. They're doing putting in new crash barriers in the middle there, and that's just causing long tailbacks in the rush hour back to Basildon. And last night, were you stuck as I was at Brook Street? Hours it took me. It was two accidents last night. I was just saying to Barry that the problem with Brook Street is not fit for purpose. Something needs to be done very, very shortly. But that at the moment, it's running A-OK.
The Beaches. Last few remaining apartments available with your own private patio. Call in and find out more. The Beaches, London Road, Brentwood.
We were talking, Barry, three quarters of the way through the year, really, and budget, you're talking about getting extra money in, and you were explaining exactly where that extra revenue is coming in, because you're saying that you don't want to raise council tax, you don't want to raise business rates, but there is an income to be got for elsewhere. Why haven't we done that before?
I have no idea why the Conservatives sat on their hands and did nothing for 4 years whilst this opportunity was before them. The government offered this deal to all councils that they would give preferential borrowing rates up to 50 million to local authorities to go out and purchase places, businesses, offices, car parks and things, so that they could have a revenue income from this. And this is all part of the government's idea.
But there must be some risk involved as well. The Tories then come back and say, well, it's not guaranteed money, and you could build a car park that nobody parks in. Well, that's just a silly example. But
we're the only authority in Essex that hasn't done it. That speaks volumes to me.
Okay.
Other authorities are earning up £6 million a year in income.
Okay.
From revenue from their investments.
Dunton Gardens, which is another new project, and I've just had an email about that, which I'll find out. The consultation's been extended, I believe.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, this is Dunton Gardens suburb. Where is Dunton Gardens suburb?
It's the junction between the border between Brentwood and Basildon. It's to the left of the A128 as you cross over from the A127, going down towards Landon.
Yep.
So that's an area of land there that we've highlighted as an example of where we could have some new build.
How crowded are we in Brentwood?
Sorry?
How crowded are we? Are we overcrowded, or have we got room for more houses? I mean, do we need to build more houses in Brentwood?
That's a good question, because at the leaders' meeting yesterday, we were discussing the devolved powers that we might get from the government if we have an Essex with better powers than we have now, further powers, and one of them would be deciding our own allocation, what is fit for purpose for the various districts throughout Essex. Do we need as many as the government are telling us? Why should one chap in Whitehall or lady in Whitehall tell us what we should and shouldn't have in Brentwood? We're a borough of 89% green belt. And the reason for that is that we want to stop the creep of London into Essex. And that was why it was put there. The M25 only enhances that. And, my views are well known on our green belt. We want to retain it as much as possible.
What about our brown?
If we're faced with the future of having to find all these thousands of houses that we need to put in, we've got to look outside of the already congested town centre.
How are we off for brownfield sites in Brentwood?
Virtually all of them have been allocated.
Okay, so they're either in the process of or will be in the very near future being used then.
Absolutely.
For further housing. And are we building housing that's suitable for all?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, for young, old and intermediate. Yeah, for every age and every type of person that wants to.
You and I will look at a 20-year-old couple trying to buy a house down, and you look at the figures and you probably reel in horror, as I do.
Yes.
But I suppose when I look at my father, he bought his house for £1,800, but his mortgage was £13, but his monthly wage was £18. So he was worse off than I was, and worse off than that they are today, really. And I suppose it's all relative, isn't it, really?
It is. I mean, we would like to buy and provide affordable housing for our young people in Brentwood. People who lived here, born here, who can't afford to buy a mortgage here because it's far too costly. And so they have to force to move out, like both my boys are now in Chelmsford. But we can do this if we have the right attitude and the right application to this local development plan and plan for the future. And have affordable housing and mean it, have the lets at a reasonable price that we can control. And the only way we can do that is if Brentwood Borough Council actually directly owns them, not through our housing directorate, but our own trading company that we're setting up. And therefore we won't be dictated by the government on what level of rents we should be putting on, and we won't be directed by the government to the right to buy. So we're hoping to go down our route, especially with our rural villages and places like that that need additional for rent.
With new housing, though, comes more people, obviously, and that means more strain on your services. I mean, how are adult social services carrying on at the moment in Brentwood? Are they coping? In other boroughs, they're not. How are they doing here?
Adult social care is a major problem for Essex. Essex looks after that, not Brentwood.
Yeah.
But that is another thing that we're talking about with the government in terms of devolved power and devolved finance. To look at these new powers that we're hoping to achieve.
That sounds to me like our local council is getting fed up with being dictated to by Westminster, and that's why you're seriously looking at devolution and getting more powers.
Yes. So,
because you know the area that you're looking after, and you live there, so you're far more familiar than a face in Westminster.
Absolutely. We know the problems and the pressures that are put upon us as a local community, and us having those powers to dictate and to enhance would radically alter what's currently happening.
Okay. What's coming across your email box most these days? What are people moaning about mostly to you?
I don't get many moans, which is incredible, really.
Oh, you must do. Come on.
No, I don't really get a lot of moans. People complain about planning decisions sometimes. School allocations, maybe. Potholes.
Potholes.
Massive problem, as always.
But we're always filling them in.
I'm really, worried about the state of our roads at the moment, because we haven't had a bad winter, touch wood.
No, we haven't.
For a couple of years.
No, we haven't.
And the potholes still coming up. So what happens if we do have a really bad spell?
I dread to think too.
What we are suffering from is a lot of flooding in intermittent areas, where the county have undertaken some works on the sides of some of our roads, and we're currently, gullies are getting blocked and the roads have completely flooded, such as near Brook Weald Cricket Club in Weald Road.
Yeah.
That is a heck of a problem, and we keep getting the county down to clear it, and it still appears. So there's a fundamental problem there.
Why is everybody always digging up Brook Street? It always seems, every day of the week, somebody somewhere is digging up Brook Street at some point.
It drives you mad, doesn't it? I mean, I had the ridiculous situation in Shenfield Broadway just recently, it's still going on, where the county came down to relay the paving slabs. They were doing a really fantastic job making them all smooth because they started to move about a lot, like they are in our high street in Brentwood. But in Shenfield, they were doing a really good job. They'd done about 100 metres, and then an electricity company come up behind them, started digging it all up again. You couldn't make it up, could you? The same day. So we had to try and get people down to stop the work. And it's this sort of joined up thinking that we haven't got locally. That's another example of us having some powers over the stack companies locally in Essex that we haven't currently got.
Okay. Crossrail. We talked at length about Crossrail last time. Where are we now? How's the planning going? Are you at the pulling your hair out situation, or are you quite relaxed about it?
Absolutely. At this moment, before the work started, satisfied with the discussions and the dialogue that we've had with Crossrail. It's a 380-degree difference from the position when I took over last year. Last year, we had no dialogue.
Okay. Yeah.
There was secret things going on here, and rumours flying around left, right and centre about Crossrail, especially over the construction lorry routes and timings. Now we have set up meetings on a regular basis, I think monthly, and we've broke them up into various groups. There's an environmental group, there's a transport group, there's a planning group, and they're all, and the traders as well. And so we're very, very happy that we've managed to achieve this in such a short time. And work is due to start now, this month, in Shenfield. Some of the trees and vegetation that needs to come down is going to start, and so we're on top of that. There's going to be a lot of local signs going up indicating where they're taking over part of the car park, where work's carrying on, alternative car parking is being found, and that was one of the biggest problems we had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of car parking, but that's been sorted as well. So I'm more than happy with the effort that's been taken by Brentwood Council in achieving this happy state.
Are traders happy, or are they concerned that they may lose business because of disruption outside their premises, or is there compensation packages in place for them?
They are reasonably happy with what we've been discussing, and unless something out of the ordinary happens, I think they'll be okay.
Okay, let's take a short break, and then I want to put your other hat on for just a moment.
Logo, website, mobile creative app, or marketing your business. Our goal at GT Creative Studio is to provide you with a creative solution built to suit your needs and your budget. For over 10 years, we've specialised in web design and brand development and provided award-winning creative services to hundreds of local businesses. GT Creative Studio, High Street, Brentwood, winners of Essex Digital Awards 2014. For a free consultation, call us on 01277 849 161, or check out our portfolio at gtcreativestudio.co.uk.
Let's get fit for 2015. There's no better way than the mud-crawling, heart-pounding, adrenaline-bursting, mind-challenging, obstacle-crazy Mud and Madness. It's on Saturday the 7th of February in Upminster, an assault course 7.5 kilometres long. Sign up now at sfh.org.uk. St Francis Hospice, providing care free of charge for local people affected by a life-limiting illness.
There are times in your life when you'll need a solicitor. Here at DPP Law, we can help you with criminal, family, mediation, personal injury, and mental health matters. Whatever you need help with, your solution starts with a phone call. Call DPP Law today on 0800 027 7870. DPP Law, Brentwood. We're on your doorstep and we're on your side.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
It is Phoenix, it's 1-2-3 with Mike. It's 20 minutes to 2 o'clock. My special guest, Barry Aspel, in the second hour this afternoon. John Spans will be coming in from Wesley Place to talk all about their pantomime. But let's go back to politics. Barry, you wanted to mention aldermen and older women of the borough. What's that about?
Well, this is something new that we're introducing this year. A lot of boroughs around the country and Essex County Council have awarded their deserving ex-politicians the position of aldermen. It's not just because they've been ex-politicians, it's because they've done other things within their community as well. Raised funds for charities, worked selflessly for various bodies in and around assisting mental health and other forms of local involvement. And to that end, we've introduced the alderman position, and there's a number of worthies that we're putting forward. and also freemen and free women of the borough. We're awarding, putting forward Roy and Carol Dyer of the Essex Dog Training.
I've introduced Roy many a time.
Roy has got an MBE this year, or an OBE.
Bless him, yeah.
And so we recognising the work that Roy and Carol do. So they're getting the Freeman of the Borough, and we're putting forward the John Wyndham from the used to be the Royal British Legion Youth Band. I think it's the Brentwood Youth Band now.
Okay.
And the Royal Anglian Regiment TA Centre at Worley. So they will be honoured for their work they do within our community.
Okay. Graham Farrant, who's the current Thurrock, works for Thurrock Parish Council, he's the chief executive. I believe we're going to use him shortly, is that right?
Yes.
Why is that?
It's a unique situation. Having one vote difference, the Accord administration is realistic to know that in a general election year there is a possibility that we will lose control of Brentwood Council next May.
Mm-hmm.
So chief executives around the country that we went out to ask to come to Brentwood, knowing that the Conservatives have made it publicly known that they would not support a chief executive role in Brentwood, and that anybody taking up that position would be losing their position. Nobody applied for the job. So we haven't got a chief executive. So we removed the MD last year and installed an assistant chief executive in Joe Ireland, our Section 151 officer, who's done a fantastic job of striding both roles as chief executive and of head of finance.
Right.
And has saved the council an awful lot of money.
Because, right.
She's been doing the same role for one pay. And so we needed someone to take over when Joe left us to go abroad. And Graham Farrant, who has been doing this job for Barking and Dagenham.
Yeah, I remember. Yes, I've interviewed him on Barking, I've interviewed him at Thurrock, many times, yeah.
Very capable, well regarded throughout Essex and the London boroughs. So he's agreed, we're going to appoint him up until May to look after us. He takes his role over in March.
So what happens in May is whoever is in power after May, then a new decision will be made. But you think the Tories will get rid of that post altogether? Who's going to, if they do that, then who's going to do the workload?
You'd best ask them when they if and when they take over. That's a job for them to sort out, because we've got a way of going forward. I would like to say that we could be in place for the next 4 or 5 years. It would be great, because we've got a programme of work that we'd like to roll out. Not just the reformation of the town hall, but there's also the William Hunter Way project that's well underway, that we're doing well on, and there's the local development plan that we've been putting in place. There's all these opportunities, our trading company that we're setting up, the buying of assets to increase the revenue. All these things are in the pipeline, and it would be awful if for the people of Brentwood and as us as well.
What is your biggest fear? Should that happen? What are you worried about? The things that you're proud of doing that you feel the Tories may disrupt?
Town Hall project, William Hunter Way, local development plan. All those things I've just announced.
Okay.
They've virtually objected to everything that we've put forward so far. So my fears are grounded in fact.
Okay. Rodney Bass, who is, I think, he's chairman of Highways, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a guest on this programme, hopefully in the very near future. My mailbox often comes full of people moaning about streetlights, etc.,
yes.
Streetlights being turned off.
Yes.
What feedback have you had on that, and what's your opinion of the streetlights going out at midnight in various parts of the county?
I can understand why they've done it, but they've done it carte blanche across the whole of the Essex, and I think there's good argument for saying, well, those that would like it off can have it off. Those that can't, who would prefer to have them on, leave them on. other boroughs are prepared to pay for their residents to have their lights put on. In Harlow, they've just agreed that it's £100,000. They will offer county that money to keep their lights on. In Brentwood, it's £63,000. But not all of our residents would like the lights switched back on. They've quite relaxed about it and look forward to the street lights going off outside their bedroom window, which is fine for them. But there are sensitive areas of our borough that do need constant lighting, and the fear of crime has risen.
I think that is the main point. The fear of crime has risen, and in some areas, crime definitely has risen.
Yes,
because the car thefts in particular and burglaries have gone up because of it's dark, you can't see it. I drove through the other day through Chelmsford after midnight, picking up one drunk son, but we've all done that. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, wow, this is so dark, and I'm in a car with really good headlights. It's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah, GBH assaults have gone up, unfortunately. In the darkness hours, there is a definite trend. We had this report from the police at audit and scrutiny last week that actually highlighted that.
So, is this a decision that might be reversed? I mean,
you'd have to ask Rodney that, he's not one for reversing his decisions, I have to say.
Okay, but I mean, if people die, if there's serious assaults, etc., if there are murders because it's too dark, then
the police have the powers to enforce the lights going on. They have to tell county that they want them on and prove to demonstrate why they do.
Okay.
And in Pilgrim's Hatch, we had a spree of burglaries, and the police actually got them put back on for a 4-week period.
Okay. Right, I want you to change hats now. I want to put on your fire authority hat, because at the moment Essex Fire Authority is in a mess. You've got a chief officer who I believe is still off long-term sick. You've got a brigade who have been on strike nationally for pensions conditions, which is nothing to do with Essex as an authority. But they have been out on strike recently for I'm not really sure why, but I believe it's because they feel that you as an authority are going to be offering different shift systems. Have I got that right, or what's your outtake on it?
It's the control centre that has now moved from Hutton to Kelvedon Park, the new headquarters, and the control staff are going on to a new system, a shift system. There's no beds, there's relaxed breakout areas, but it's a different system to what they work in with.
Why did you change that in the first place? This is a system that's been in operation, since the end of the war, hasn't it, really, that shift system? It was family-friendly, it was successful. Why did you change it?
Because it's more efficient this way.
Efficient to who?
The authority and the residents of Essex.
I'll disagree with that. How is that family-friendly as well? When you're asking, females mainly at control to start work at 6 o'clock in the morning, how are they supposed to get childcare at that time of the morning, etc.?
It's not mainly females, not these days. And you'll have to ask the existing staff, because virtually all of them are happy with the arrangements. What wasn't happy was the move from Hutton to Kelvedon, and that we experienced with the rest of the control staff, that there was a vast majority of people were happy moving down there, but there was always people who are going to resist change and resist location for very good reasons. They would do that, and I would be the same. I would be loath to, if I lived in Brentwood and I was working in Hutton and had to travel to Kelvedon Park, I would be very upset. So I can understand that, but this was tried to mediate this out over a period of years. I mean, if the last government that was in before the coalition, they had a regional control centre, which was in Cambridge.
That was going to be
looking after five brigades.
Well, that's the biggest waste of money ever, wasn't it? It's known as Prescott's folly. We're still paying out. Is Essex County Council still paying out money for an empty premise? In Cambridge, are we still funding that? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't think so.
I think we are. Some authorities are. They're paying out ridiculous amounts of money per month for premises that are still half finished. They've never done a day's operational work in their lives.
It's a terrible decision to take. And that's another example of a national government imposing on local county authorities their idea of what's best for us.
Well, exactly. And a system that worked perfectly well and has done for donkey's years and interference. And it just caused massive, massive, massive waste of money. And somebody really ought to hang over it, really.
Yeah. Some brigades that aren't authorities, that are still under county control, actually run down their control centres in anticipation.
Exactly, exactly.
And they're having to combine with other brigades to look after their workings. Like, we have the capacity to take on more other brigades to look after them, just in case there's a problem.
Well, there was a member of staff at the old Huntland Control who spent 3 years working out plans for when the new fire control and it never happened. So what a waste of money that was.
Those people that made that decision should be taken to court, I believe. It's such a waste of public money. It was terrible.
Alan Chinshaw, who's the Brigade Secretary of the FBU in Essex, says that the Brigade are facing cuts of an unprecedented scale, resulting in more than a quarter of all frontline firefighter jobs being cut.
Where?
Firefighters will have to wait longer for fire engines to arrive in the event of emergency.
Not in Essex.
Well, they will do, won't they? Let's take Brentwood, for example. Yep. That's a whole time, and what was two whole time machines is now a whole time and a retained machine. I saw it in evidence the other day. It was an accident on the M25. I was going the other way. I saw the whole time Brentwood machine coming up the hard shoulder to the accident, and then a good 3 miles behind it was a retained machine. So that, whereas before two machines would have been there at a time, you're now getting two machines arriving at one different time. So that is a poorer service, surely.
But on the M25, you're served from London as well as from Essex.
Yes, but Barry, that applies to a house fire, doesn't it? The second machine is now going to take a longer to get there because it's a poorer service than the...
That's not what's based on the figures that are coming out. I mean, you have to understand, and you and I both know from our experience in the job going back years, that house fires are now something that is less.
I totally agree.
So through health and safety, through building regs, through fire safety measures that we've implemented as a brigade, as a fire authority, that house fires are now on the wane. The biggest call out for us, as always, is accidents.
Is road accidents. Okay.
It's road accidents. And what I will accede to is that most of our fire stations are now in the wrong place.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll take that point. Okay, we're going to have to wind up, but very, very quickly, Barry, would you say to the Essex firefighter, are you going to change their shift systems?
Because that's... No.
You're not going to change their shift system. Is there anything in writing about that? And I'm not addressing you as an individual here. As a fire authority member, is there a penned agreement where you're going to both sit down, the FBU and the fire authority, and agree that that's not going to happen?
It's not going to happen. That's never been suggested at all.
Okay, so why are the unions so worried about that then?
I do not know. You have to ask the union. The unions seem to be very excitable in Essex.
Well, they've got a long history of being a very strong union in Essex, a very, very long history.
And it's not warranted with the current fire authority and the decisions they're making. It really isn't. And I'm speaking as a union man.
Okay. They also claim, and this is finally on this, fire chiefs are currently employing 608 firefighters, but we're paying for 656. That means a £15 million debt to the government over a year.
Was this nationally?
No, this is here.
Essex,
according to the FBU website, yeah.
I've no idea what they're talking about.
Okay, all right. We'll have to leave you there. Barry, as always, come in once a month. Love to have you and get the opposition in as well, because it clears the air and you're very open, you're very honest, and I appreciate you coming in. So thank you very much indeed.
It's been a pleasure.
Your final record is old friends of ours, Dr. Feelgood. You went to see them in Canvey, I believe. I certainly did. And this is Milk and Alcohol.